Hello, everybody. It's my pleasure to give a talk in this conference. Today, I'd like to talk about quasi-elliptic homology, which is a theory constructed in my PhD thesis. I will first talk about its construction, some property of it, and also some applications of it in some problems in elliptic homology. The next part of my talk is about twisted quasi-elliptic homology. I will first show its construction and also relate it to a twisted equivariant version of de Vogt's elliptic homology via a chain character map. Then I will talk about the twisted real quasi-elliptic homology we just constructed and also a twisted real chain character map. So quasi-elliptic homology is a variant of Tate K theory. It can be expressed explicitly via equivariant K theory. Let's look at its definition first. So it is a product of some equivariant K theory of this big point space. The product goes over a set of representatives of G conjugacy classes in the torsion elements of G. And this group lambda here is the product group of the centralizer and the real numbers quotient by the subgroup generated by G, negative one. Yeah. And we can see that on the fixed point space, there is an evident group action by the centralizer. And we can also define a define a lambda G, G action on it by this formula here. In other words, the T parts in the lambda acts on X trivially. So this is the definition of this quasi-elliptic homology. Because it can be expressed by equivariant K theory, so we will see afterwards that some construction on it can be carried on more easily than elliptic homology theories, and it's more computable. So the first property we will see is this quasi-elliptic homology is Z, Q plus minus algebra. Let's look at this short zigzag sequence. So the first map is inclusion, and the second map is we standard element say GT to the elements in the circle represented by T. Then we can construct a map from ZQ plus minus to each factor of this quasi-elliptic homology. The first map is the circle equivariant K theory of a point is isomorphic to the representation ring of the circle. And the first map here is induced by the pi map in the short exact sequence. And the second map is induced by the collapsing map. So from this map, we can see that the quasi-elliptic homology is ZQ plus minus algebra. And then we are ready to see its relation with the Tate K theory. So after tensoring with this infinite power series, we can recover the Tate K theory from quasi-elliptic homology. So it contains all the information of Tate K theory. And we know that equivariant K theory has already, the group G here is a compact Lie group, but when we twist it, we need to use finite group. So we know that equivariant K theory has already been fully studied, and quasi-elliptic homologies also have many good properties. So let's see the first one, the restriction map. And we know that for representation theory, we have the restriction map induced by restrict a G representation to an H representation if we have a homomorphism from H to G. And that's the phenomenon of one point for equivariant K theory. And in the same way, we can also construct the restriction map for quasi-elliptic homology. The restriction map on each factor is induced by the restriction map of equivariant K theory. And we know that in representation theory, restriction map have a right adjoint, the induction map, when H is a subgroup of G. And the induction map in equivariant K theory is constructed as a composition of the inverse of the change of group isomorphism and the finite covering map. The construction of the induction map for quasi-elliptic homology is of the same idea. It's also the composition of such two maps. Moreover, we know that for representation theory, you have this tensor product. Namely, if you tensor a G representation and an H representation, you get a G cross H representation. And this is also the phenomenon of one point for the Kuhn-Nest map of equivariant K theory. We can also construct a Kuhn-Nest map for quasi-elliptic homology. So the tensor product of it is constructed from the ZQ plus minus algebra tensor product of each factors. And then we take the product of them all. And the Kuhn-Nest map here is also induced from the Kuhn-Nest map of equivariant K series. But it, we can get a well-defined map for the ZQ plus minus product. Okay, then the change of group isomorphism. And we know for equivariant K theory have a change of group isomorphism. And the change of group map for quasi-elliptic homology is also constructed in the same way. And we can prove it as also isomorphism. And this is a good sign that this theory may be globalized. And also, from the orthogonal G spectrum of equivariant K theory, we can construct an orthogonal G spectrum for quasi-elliptic homology, which is done in my PhD thesis. And for the global K theory, we know it exists. And for the global quasi-elliptic homology, we are still looking for a good way to describe it. Okay, so these are just some basic properties of quasi-elliptic homology. And next, and the construction we will see later is about transfer ideal. So the motivating example for transfer ideal is from K theory. And it is defined in this way. It is the sum of the image of the induction maps. For the sigma I cross sigma j equivariant K theory of a point to the sigma n equivariant K theory of a point. So transfer ideal has this key property that it is the smallest ideal to make this quotient with the first map a power operation and the second map a quotient to be a map of commutative rings. The transfer ideal for Tate K theory and quasi-elliptic homology can be constructed in a similar way. They can both be constructed as the sum of the image of induction maps. Okay, then let's see some problems that quasi-elliptic homology can play a role and to interpret. So first is a conjecture by Witten that I believe everybody in this conference know. That is, the elliptic homology of a space X is closely related to the circle equivariant K theory of the loop space. By loop space, we mean this orange one, which is the space of the smooth map from the circle to X. And it has a circle action induced by the circle action by the rotation on the circle here. However, this relation is surprisingly difficult to make clear. One reason is that in practical, we need to consider both the circle action, the rotation on the circle, and a group action G on X. In this case, this loop space is an orbifold with rich structure. And I think this conjecture has been studied many years by many people. And the result I'd like to set here is that by DeVoto and Ganter, that the G equivariant Tate K theory has a loop space model when G is a finite. I think it's both included in DeVoto's paper and also Ganter's PhD thesis. Then we have the question is how to construct the loop space model for elliptic homology theories generally. This may be not an easy question. So let's have a look at quasi-elliptic homology first. So let's go back to the basic question. What is a loop first? I think when we talk about loop, the loop appeared in everybody's mind is this one, namely the free loop space we just talked about. It has a circle action induced by the rotation and also the LG action induced by the G action on X. And also we can combine the two actions and get an LG cross T action on the loop space. Then how can we view this group actions on the loop space? So let's recall that LG is a group of gauge transformations. And LG cross T, we can consider it as the extended gauge group, which consists of all the bundle maps between this trivial principal G bundle covering the rotations. And the action by LG cross T on the loop. The relation is just the relation between quasi-elliptic cohomology and the elliptic cohomology is just is related to Tate case theory. Let me go back. Yeah, just look at this bottom line. Its relation with Tate case theory is here. And we know that Tate case theory is a generalized elliptic cohomology. And it associated to the generalized elliptic curve, Tate curve, which can be viewed as a boundary point in the moduli stack of elliptic curve. So that's a relation. So also why this theory is called quasi-elliptic cohomology, because it has some relation with the boundary points of the elliptic cohomology. Let's go back to here. Okay, so LG cross T can be interpreted as this extended gauge group, and its action on the loop space can be considered as a pre-composition with the loop. We use gamma tilde here with such a bundle map we just talked about. So here is an answer to this question, what is a loop, by Charles Rask. This is a new category of equivariant loops. So its objects consist of two maps. Yeah, I think there is a map from quasi-elliptic cohomology to Tate case theory when G is a finite. And I think one interesting point is, though these two theories are very close to elliptic cohomologies, but their chromatic levels are both equal to one, while the elliptic cohomology theories have chromatic level two. Yeah, let's maybe look at this new category of equivariant loops first. So its objects consist of two maps. The left one is a principal G bundle over the circle, and the right map is a G equivariant map. So if you compare with the example we discussed here, this is just a trivial principal G bundle. This vertical one and the right one induced by that loop is a G equivariant map. So this is just a special case of the objects in this category. And the morphisms between two objects here consists of two parts. One is this bundle map between P prime and P. The other one is the rotation between the circles. And these two maps making all the diagrams here commutes. And that's a morphism. I think if you know the definition of phi bundles, you can see there are some relation between this new category of equivariant loops and the phi bundles from the circle with trivial action to the action group part, to the action group part. They have the same objects, but in the category of phi bundles, the morphisms are all of the form alpha ID. There's no rotation here. So this is the difference. And then the loop space construction of Kuo's elliptic cohomology. So we consider this subgroup, a subgroup point of this category consisting of constant loops, which is equivalent to this disjoint union of action group point. So we can see directly that Kuo's elliptic cohomology is just defined to be the orbifold K theory of this lambda group point. And then we have a question, just how much can we use this loop space to construct elliptic cohomology theories? And we are still working on it. Then let's go to the second application of quasi-elliptic cohomology. Let's consider these big pictures of classifying problems on the formal group of Morava-E theories and also maybe elliptic curves. And this page are just some classical results. And it appears that the Morava-E theory, modulo transfer ideal, has some relates the algebraic topology and algebraic geometry. It has some algebra geometric interpretation. Maybe let's look at this diagram first. So here I just gave two theories. The first is the complex K theory, and the second column is for Morava-E theory. And these are their formal groups. Then the homomorphisms from the Pontryagin ideal of an abelian group to their formal group can be classified by the theory of the abelian group in both cases. Yeah, I think, let's go back here. So the first isomorphism is a canonical isomorphism, and the second one is a result in Hawking's Kuhn-Ravenel generalized character theory. Then let's see the subgroups of the formal group. So for the complex K theory, the subgroups of order P to K can be classified by this term, the representation ring of the symmetric group, modulo certain transfer ideal. And for the Morava-E theory, this is a classical result by Strickland, namely the Morava-E theory of the symmetric group, modulo transfer ideal, classifies the subgroup of finite order P to K of the formal group of the Morava-E theory. And also the A star level structures can be classified in a similar way. Let's see that for K theory, it can be classified by the representation ring of A modulo the transfer ideal. And for the case of Morava-E theory, it can also be classified in this form. I think this result for Morava-E theory is believed to be true for long. And Stapleton and I proved it in a paper of us earlier this year using Hawkins and Kuhn-Ravenel character theory. Let's see that we have this picture. Then because the Morava-E theory of level two is a form of elliptic cohomology, then we just wonder whether Strickland's theorem, this one, is also true for elliptic curves. And I prove it that this is true for Tate K theory and Tate curve. Let's maybe see the result first. So the Tate K theory of the symmetric group, the left-hand side, modulo the transfer ideal, classifies the finite subgroups of the Tate curve. And that finite subgroup of the Tate curve can be classified by the ring on the right-hand side. And this isomorphism is established by the stringy power operation of Tate K theory. Okay, and the proof of this theorem, the key role of it is the quasi-elliptic cohomology. We first prove a similar conclusion for quasi-elliptic cohomology. And then let's recall that relation between quasi-elliptic cohomology and Tate K theory, that we just tensor the infinite power series to the conclusion for quasi-elliptic cohomology. And then we can get the conclusion in this theorem. So in the computation, a key conclusion we use is this one. Just how to compute, say, the lambda GG equivariant K theory of a point. We need to use such computation to prove this theorem. And it is isomorphic to the left-hand side. In other words, it's a free CQ plus minus module and the RT basis of this representation ring of lambda. I have a one-to-one correspondence to the irreducible representations of this centralizer. Okay. This is just one conclusion that we use in the computation. And then let's have a look at on the generalized theories. By generalized, we mean it's a classical theory of a loop space. Let's look at this picture. So the first column is the orbifold K theory of the loop space we just talked about. And the second column is the generalized Moravian E theory, which is a Moravian E theory of a different loop space. Let's have a look at the result. So the formal group up here is the formal group of the classical theories plus a constant group scheme. And the homomorphisms from the Pontryagin eigenideal of a abelian group to G. In the quasi-elliptic cohomology case, it can be classified by this term, namely the quasi-elliptic cohomology of the abelian group A. And in the second case, it can be classified by this generalized Moravian E theory of the group A. I think this we also include this result in my paper with Stapleton, and the proof is using Hopkins and Kuhn and Ravenel character theory. Then is the proof with the conclusion we have just seen. This is the conclusion for quasi-elliptic cohomology that we used in the proof for Tate K theory. And this term is a conclusion for generalized Moravian E theory. I think it's proved by Schlank and Stapleton in 2015 using transchromatic character theory. And let's see the A star level structures. For the case of quasi-elliptic cohomology, we can also use the same method computation in representation theory, as the theorem we see before, to prove that the A star level structures of quasi-elliptic cohomology can be classified by this term. It also of the form that the quasi-elliptic cohomology of a group modulo the certain transfer ideal. And this result, the A star level structure of the generalized Moravian E theory here, is proved by Stapleton and I in an earlier paper this year. And we used Hopkins and Kuhn and Ravenel character theory, a very different method. So this is just the role and the position of quasi-elliptic cohomology in the classification problems picture here. Okay, next let's have a look at the construction of twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology. Here we assume that G is a finite group and we twist the quasi-elliptic cohomology by a three cocycle of G. First, we apply the transgression map. We start from this cohomology group alpha in this H3, BG. And first we pull back along the evaluation map and then push forward along this projection. And then we get a two cycle of this loop space. Because we know that this loop space from S1 to BG is equivalent to the disjoint union of some of the classifying spaces of the classifying spaces of centralizers. So we have this decomposition of the cohomology groups. So the image of alpha, the three cocycle under this transgression has this decomposition, which each theta G in the H2 DCG G. Okay, and then we will use theta G to twist each factor of quasi-elliptic cohomology. So before we show the definition of twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology, maybe just review definition of twisted equivariant K-theory a little. So this is also a G-space with G a finite group, and theta is a two cocycle in BG. Then a two cocycle can give us a central extension of the group G here. Then the theta twisted G equivariant K theory is defined to be the Grothendieck group of theta twisted G vector bundles over X. And the circle inside this G theta acts on each fiber as complex multiplication. And I think you can get very quickly that this theta twisted G equivariant K theory is contained in the G theta equivariant K theory. Okay. Then let's go back to the definition of twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology. First, we use theta G to get the central extension of the centralizer. And then we define this lambda group, which is a twisted enhanced centralizer to be the product group R cross this twisted centralizer quotient by the subgroup generated by negative 1, 0, G. And then the twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology is defined to be this product of twisted K series. Next, I will compare this twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology with a version of twisted equivariant Devoto's elliptic cohomology with complex coefficients. Before we see that, let maybe recall the history of comparison theorem where the chain character map. I think the very baby case, baby example is also from the representation theory. Let's see that the representation, the complex representation ring of G is isomorphic to the ring of the class functions on G. And then we can see that this is exactly the special case when X is a single point in the Atiyah-Siegel map. And after composing with the chain character map from K to H, and we can get an isomorphism between the equivariant K theory with complex coefficients and the Devoto theory. And this isomorphism also have a twisted version, which I found in Adam and Brand's paper on twisted orbifold K theory. And said the twisted K theory, the twisted equivariant K theory with complex coefficients is isomorphic to the term on the right-hand side. And the twisting part on the right-hand side is contained in this one-dimensional representation. It is defined in this way. And the direct corollary of this result is here. If you take the product of some centralizer equivariant twisted K theory of the fixed point space with complex coefficients, we can get this isomorphism as a direct corollary from this one. And we will use it in the construction of our chain character map. So let's see the chain character map start from the twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology with complex coefficients. So the first map here, this C star, is the restriction map induced from a coloring map from this circle cross the centralizer to the lambda group here. And for the second map, because we know that the circle acts on the fixed point space trivially, so we have this isomorphism from the property of equivariant K theory. And the next map is a map we just talked about, which is an isomorphism. And this is the target of the target here is part of a twisted version of Devoto's equivariant elliptic cohomology with complex coefficients. And I think it's constructed in Dan Evans Berwick's paper. So we have this relation between quasi-elliptic cohomology and this twisted equivariant elliptic cohomology. Okay, then next let's have a look at how to define the real quasi-elliptic cohomology and then the real twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology. And here, we start from Z2 graded group, which is a homomorphism from this G hat to Z2. And its ungraded part G is a kernel of pi. And we assume that G hat is a finite group. So first, let's see the real centralizer of an element in this G hat. It's defined in this way. Namely, it consists all the elements in this G hat real conjugate to itself. And we know to define the real theory, we need an involution. And we introduce the involution from the reflection of the circle. Let's see this sine representation, which can give us Z action on the real numbers in this way. And I think from now on, we will always assume that this real centralizer and the centralizer are not the same. We can always find the elements from the real centralizer, which is not in the centralizer. Otherwise, we won't get an interesting real theory. Then this semi-direct product we just talked about, then we have this semi-direct product defined from this sine representation. It acts on this centralizer in this way by conjugate of this omega element we fix. And we can see that in this definition, T also acts on H trivially. Then we have the real version of the lambda group, which is namely the real enhanced centralizer of the element G. We still have this G negative 1, 0 in the quotient part, and we are quotient by another element, omega square 0, 2. To construct the real quasi-elliptic cohomology, we introduce a term which is called the Z2 graded orbifold. It also consists of a functor from an orbifold x hat to Z2. Then this map pi can give us a double cover x. And let's look at this lambda x hat first. As I think in some papers, this is defined as the quotient loop group part. Its object consists of this pair of elements, x, gamma with x, and objects in x hat, and gamma is an automorphism at x. And the morphism space between two objects consists of a pair, gt, with g, automorphisms in x hat, and t is a real number. It satisfies these two conditions. The first one is gamma 2 should equal g gamma 1, g inverse. And the next is gamma 2 g, t plus 1 equal gt. And in fact, you can see that this lambda x hat is exactly the group part we used to define quasi-elliptic cohomology. Now let's consider the real version, which is called unoriented quotient loop group part. The objects are the same. Then let's look at the morphism between two objects. We also have this pair of elements in the morphism. But gamma 2 and gamma 1 are real conjugate to each other. And we also have the same action with the T part. And on this lambda hat, x hat, there is an involution defined on it, which is defined in this way, that the object S gamma is defined to be this conjugation and the conjugation of gamma inverse. And for the morphisms part, GT is done to this, this conjugation of G and negative T. Then we go to the definition of the real quasi-elliptic cohomology. It is defined to be the orbifold case theory of this lambda hat, x hat, which is already has an involution on it. And for the global quotient case, it is a product of these factors, namely the real enhanced centralized equilibrium case theory of this big point space. Okay. Then let's consider how to get a real twisted quasi-elliptic homology compatible with the real version and also the twisted version. So first, let's look at how to twist first. The idea is similar to how we twist quasi-elliptic homology. Here we start from a twisted three-code cycle in this twisted cohomology group of this G hat, which is a leaf of some three-code cycle of BG. And then Nohai and Yang construct in this paper a twisted loop transgression, and we use it to get two-code cycles from this three-code cycles. The construction of this twisted loop transgression map is of similar idea to the transgression map we have just seen. It also consists of a twisted push forward and a twisted pull back. Okay, now let's see that after we get this two cosecant, we can also decompose it into with each theta g hat into this H2 B of the real centralizer. And then we will use it to twist each factor of the real quasi-elliptic cohomology. And the definition of twisted real quasi-elliptic cohomology is of the same idea to the construction of our real quasi-elliptic cohomology. We also start from a Z2 graded orbifold, and with this double cover classified by this map pi. Then the alpha hat twisted real quasi-elliptic cohomology of X hat is defined to be the twisted orbifold K theory of this lambda hat X hat. Then in the global quotient haze, it is the product of this twisted K theory, equivariant K theory of this fixed point space. Okay. And this group, and here, for each G, the twisted enhanced real stabilizer, and you can compute that as isomorphic to this term. Yeah, and I use the diagram to interpret the real enhanced centralizer and the twisted real enhanced centralizer. Let's see that the both vertical sequence are short zigzag sequence, and also both horizontal sequence are short zigzag sequences, and they make all the diagram here commute. Then let's also have, we have this relation between representation rings. So we have already seen the first line. When we talk about the classification of subgroups of the Tate curve, right? That this lambda GG equivariant K theorem for point is isomorphic to the term on the left-hand side. And for the twisted case and the twisted real case, we have similar conclusions. And we can also establish the relation between this lambda equivariant K theory with this centralizer equivariant K theory on the left-hand side, and get similar conclusions. And all the vertical maps here are restrictions, and all the diagrams here are commutes. Then the last thing I'd like to talk about is the twisted real chain character map. We have seen the last line, which is the chain character map for the twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology. And for the real twisted quasi-elliptic cohomology, we can also construct a chain character map with a one-dimensional representation here with the vertical maps restriction. And these diagrams commute. So I think this is what I have done. And further, we are going to the problems that we are going to do on quasi-elliptic cohomology. First is we want to get a reasonable definition of twisted equivariant power operation. And then we want to find some examples of our definition. Then we will construct the power operation for twisted quasi-elliptic homology. I think in the I didn't talk much that we also construct a power operation of quasi-elliptic homology that can extend uniquely to the stringy power operation of Tate K theory. And it can be expressed as composition of homomorphisms of group parts. Another example we would like to study is the power operation for twisted Morava E theory. I think Sati and Craigland at Westerland has already constructed a version of twisted Morava E theory. And then maybe there is also a good power operation theory for that. Another thing is we want to define the quasi-elliptic homology of two groups and compare it with the two equivariant elliptic homology. I think this is maybe more easier to define than elliptic homology of a two group and to see its relation with two equivariant elliptic homology. And I think that's all I want to talk about today, and thank you.
Okay, let's thank Jen for her talk. Is there any question for her, for Jen? So let me repeat the question in the chat, because I think you, Jen, already answered some of them. So Andrea asked a question about, so could you please provide the motivation for quasi-elliptic homology, or is there any relation of quasi-elliptic homology to the elliptic homology?
Oh, I think I showed it in the middle.
Yeah,
just the relation between quasi-elliptic and elliptic homology is contained in its relation with Tate K theory here.
Mm-hmm.
Just it contains all the information of Tate K theory, and it itself is not an elliptic homology. And we know that Tate K theory is an elliptic homology associated to the Tate curve, which is a generalized elliptic curve that we can consider it as a boundary point of moduli stack of the elliptic homology. Yeah.
I comment? Can you hear me?
Yeah, please.
I just want to say I thought this was a very elegant talk. And I also wanted to remark that there's an old question about the equivariant K theory of a free loop space, that the equivariant K theory of a free loop space is not local, because I mean, it doesn't have a kind of Meyer via torus property, because you can't sort of pull loops apart. But it's actually a very slick theorem of Nitu-Kichlu that if you take T equivariant cohomology and complete it at the Tate point, then in fact, it is localizable and you can pull these things apart. It's published somewhere, but not that well known.
Okay, thank you for the comments. Is there any more question? Okay, so then, oh, we got a new message. So Jess mentioned the completion. Yeah, is this because the completion forced the loop to be small about the localized?
It just says that after the completion, you can't see things. Yeah, there's a reference up there. Well, it's a theorem. It's our theorem in that Neetu told me it was our theorem.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so any more comments? So then let's thank our speaker again.